Thank you for that. In your Bibles, if you would turn to John chapter 8, we are working our way through the Gospel of John. So John chapter 8, and just a couple of verses. John chapter 8, and reading from verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?" And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning we do thank you for the wonderful freedom it is to be together, to open your word, and I pray that we might be free in our minds and our hearts to hear what it is that you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone wants to be free. Everyone craves freedom. The young child wants to be free and complains when it's bedtime. Ever experienced that? Those of you who are parents? Surely it's not bedtime yet. The teenager wants to be free. Free from the constraints of his parents or her parents, who after all don't know anything. The asylum seeker wants to be free from the detention centre. The nation that's colonized wants to be free, to be independent. I remember when I was a younger teenager and we were attending the Baptist Church in Caloundra. It was a little church up on the hill, the top of Bullcock Street. Those of you who have been there might remember that. And I used to sit on the starboard side of the church, the right-hand side of the church, every Sunday. And I would book my seat next to the window and I'd watch the waves come in at King's Beach. And this was often in the middle of a sermon, and I wanted to be free of the constraints of the four walls of the church and the sermon, and I wanted to be free to go surfing. So God's got a sense of humour, because for the last 27 years I found myself in church on a Sunday morning confining you guys to the four walls of the church and having to listen to me. So God is ironic and funny. But everyone wants to be free. If the opposite of freedom is bondage and slavery, well, no one wants that. For some people, their definition of freedom is to have no restraint at all on what they do or where they go. And the epitome of freedom is to be free as a bird. You know that expression, to be free as a bird? I just want to go wherever I want, do whatever I want, with whomever I want. And this morning we are looking at the reality that these things were written so that you might believe, and that in believing you might have eternal life. And so we're looking at what you and I would believe about freedom this morning. So this morning it's freedom from, and in a couple of weeks' time when I come back, because next week I'll be free. I'll be on Fraser Island. Not that I don't want to be here, but I'm going to have a holiday. So when I come back, we'll be looking at free to. So we're free from and we're free to. This morning we are free from. But the concept many people have of freedom is not freedom at all. It's license. It's lawlessness or antinomianism. There's a big word for you, which just means anti-lawism. It just means doing whatever you like. And for some people and for many people, that is their concept of freedom. However, in pastoral experience over 27 years, I've watched many people journey down that track only to find themselves bored and jaded and left with a sour taste in their mouth as their freedom has in fact become bondage for them. And no doubt you've seen and experienced that perhaps yourself. True freedom is actually a reflection of the freedom of God. And this might sound radical to you, but God is not free to do whatever he wants. You understand that, don't you? It's a basic theological concept. God is not free to do whatever he wants. However, God is free in the sense that nothing will stop him acting according to his nature and what he has purposed. There's a big difference. He's not free to do whatever he wants. He is free to do what is in accordance with his nature. So to explain the difference between the proper view of freedom and the popular view of freedom, let me illustrate it for you. Many of you have a pool, right? A swimming pool in your backyard or your front yard. Those of you who have a pool, no need to raise your hand, but let me know afterwards, because when it gets really hot next summer, I wouldn't mind coming around, spending time in your pool. And you have a pool, you have a pool filter. And the purpose of a pool filter is to filter the pool water. You're welcome. I am here to impart to you profound truth. The purpose of a pool filter is to filter pool water. That's its nature. That's what it was designed to do. When it doesn't work anymore, when it becomes blocked or clogged, somebody needs to free up the filter, presumably Derek the pool man. Those of you who have seen that Specsavers ad, I love that ad. Don't worry, I'm not spending the inheritance. I'm leaving that to Derek. So presumably Derek needs to unclog the pool filter. And when the pool filter is unclogged, we say it's working, or it's free, or it's freed up. But is it truly free? Is it free to do anything it wants? Can the pool filter make a cappuccino coffee? Can the pool filter manufacture peanut butter? Can the pool filter perm someone's hair? Can the pool filter do somersaults? No. And yet it's free. It's free to do that which it is designed to do. If you hear one big thing this morning, it's this. Freedom in God is the freedom to do that which you and I were designed and purposed to do, which is not freedom to do anything and everything. That is the understanding of biblical freedom, to be free to do that which we were purposed to do. So the question is, and this is the challenge for us, what is it that clogs up? What is it that becomes grunge and rubbish in our life that prevents us from being free to do that which Jesus would want us to do? And here it is. It's a very simple answer. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." According to Jesus, the reason that we are not free is this, that we are a slave to sin. And what Jesus meant by that is two things, really. First of all, that we are a slave to the dominion of sin, the dominance of sin in us and over us. So when Jesus talks about sin, he's talking about something that runs deep. He's not just talking about a single act or multiple acts. He's in fact talking about a power that resides within. He's talking about something that compels us. So he speaks about the dominion of sin over us. And it's like the Apostle Paul who said, you know, the good that I want to do, I can't do, and the evil or the sin that I don't want to do, I find myself compelled to do it. And so Jesus is not talking about the odd sin here and there. He's talking about the deep compulsion and compelling force that is within us. He says everyone who sins is in fact a slave to sin. Both the dominion of sin and the damnation of sin, because the end road of unforgiven sin is an eternity spent in the presence of the judgment and the wrath of God against your sin. The dominion and the damnation of sin in your life and in my life is that which causes us not to be free. However, in Jesus, we are free from the dominion of sin in that he has infused in us a new nature right at the very core, so that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And Jesus has freed us from the dominion of sin, and Jesus has liberated us from the damnation of sin in that he became a curse for us. Because Galatians 3 tells us, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, and Jesus became the damnation for sin for us. So in Jesus, we have freedom. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And that is the freedom that you and I crave. Is it not? So, let me sum up. This is my understanding of what freedom is. Freedom is the opportunity, the ability, and the desire to do that which will make you happy in 1,000 years' time. Some of you are going, hang on a minute. I'm not going to be here in 1,000 years. Yes, you are, because you are an eternal creature. Freedom is the desire, the opportunity, and the ability to do that which will make you happy in 1,000 years' time. Or to put it another way, freedom is the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do that which will leave you with no regrets. Here's an illustration I trust will help, and with this I want to conclude. Here's the illustration. The illustration is about skydiving. Any of you been skydiving? I have no desire to go skydiving. My days of free falling are over. Because I did free fall once and it ended quite badly. But here's the illustration of skydiving. You want to go skydiving, so on your way to the airport, you're driving down Tin Can Bay Road, and surprise, surprise, you hit a pothole in the road. That pothole causes you to veer off into the culvert, and there you're stuck in the mud. So while you're waiting for the tow truck to come and extricate your car, while waiting for the tow truck to come and get your car out of the culvert, the opportunity, the freedom of opportunity, has escaped you and the moment has passed. Let's say, however, that you don't hit a pothole and you make it safely to the airport, and there you are briefed on what it means to go skydiving. However, you have no idea at all about what skydiving's about. You don't even know how to pull the cord on the parachute. So you have the freedom then of opportunity, but you do not have the freedom of ability because you know nothing about it, and they will not let you go up into the sky. Let's say, though, that you make it to the airport and you have the knowledge to go skydiving, and they take you up in the plane and you get up to whatever it is, 10,000 feet, 15,000 feet, and they open that door and you look down and suddenly you're paralyzed with fear and you start sweating profusely. Like a gypsy with a mortgage, you start sweating. And you have the freedom of opportunity, you have the freedom of ability, but you do not have the freedom of desire at that moment. Let's say, however, that you make it to the airport, you know how to skydive, you have the basic briefing, they take you up, they open the door and you look down and you see houses as tiny specks on the ground, and you see vast areas of water and grass and whatever it might be, and with gleeful abandon you jump out of the plane. However, what you don't realize is this, that your parachute is not going to open and you are hurtling towards the ground at terminal velocity, and in a matter of seconds your body is going to impact with the ground, and guess what? The ground is not going to give way. And so at terminal velocity, your body is going to hit the ground, and in a few seconds, you're going to be dead. Here's my question. At that moment, are you free indeed? No, you're not. No, you're not. Because to be free is to be free to do that which will leave you happy in 1,000 years, and that will not leave you happy. And to be free is to be free to do that which will leave you with no regrets, and that would be a regretful way to end your life. Do you understand the illustration? To be truly free is to be free to have the desire. It's to be free to have the ability. It's to be free to have the opportunity. And it's to be free to do that which will not destroy you. And when Jesus said, I have come that you might be free, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's what he meant. He meant, I want you to have the desire, the ability, the opportunity to do that which will not destroy you. So we don't have a man-made parachute, but we have a Savior who has taken us up in free fall and who has saved us from our own destruction. We have a Savior who has given us a new heart and a new mind. We have a Savior who has given us a new destiny. And in him, we are free. We are free indeed. We are free indeed. Isn't it stupid then, as Christians, we look at people who are free falling from skyscrapers, metaphorically, free-falling sex, free-falling luxury, free-falling materialism, free-falling drugs, free-falling alcohol abuse, whatever you want to put in there, we're looking at these people sometimes and envying the freedom that they have, and they don't realize that their body is heading towards ground at terminal velocity and they're on their way to destruction. This morning's message is not information from Jesus to you. It's an invitation from him to you to live in the freedom that he offers you today. Because true freedom is to have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do that which will make you happy into eternity, to do that which will leave you with no regrets, to do that which will not destroy you. So here's the challenge for us. What is it that we are currently doing that is a threat to the freedom that we have in Jesus? Because this morning is not information, it's an invitation to live in the freedom that only Jesus can bring. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to share communion together. I'm going to pray, and in this moment of prayer, I would like you to bring before Jesus those things that he's convicted you about that are actually threats to the freedom that he wants you to have. I'm going to be silent for about 30 seconds. You can name those things before him, and then I want to pray on your behalf. Let's pray.